This is an AMI podcast.
Hey, Dave Brown here. If you enjoy this podcast portion of our show, remember you can watch it live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on AMI TV.
Welcome back to Now with Dave Brown. I'm Alex Smythe, filling in for Dave, who's still away on vacation. We're happy to have Amy Amante join us with her commentary on the Netflix limited series, The Inside Man. Amy is also the host of the AMI original podcast called Accessing Art with Amy, and she joins us now from Vancouver. Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Hey, good morning, Alex.
So you wanted to talk about this miniseries, The Inside Man. What's it all about?
Yeah, The Inside Man, four-part miniseries. I actually have to tell you, Alex, I'm really loving miniseries these days because you can just binge it and it's good. You're good to go, right?
Yeah.
In The Inside Man, we have a convicted con man who is on, he's not a con man, rather. He's a murderer. He's on death row. And he tends to take these cases of other folks who are trying to almost solve things in their lives. So like a politician might come in and say, something fishy is going on in my family and I don't know what's happening. And so they'll tell this story to Grief, who's our lead character, and Grief will sit there and try and sort of navigate the puzzle and say, well, it's obvious. This is what's happening, right? So this is kind of what he does to fill his pastime within the context of being a prisoner on death row. And then, you know, that doesn't necessarily sound like a drama thriller, but what happens is we start to see the unfolding of characters through this theatrical container, is what we would call it, how something is packaged for presentation.
Well, you mentioned characters. So who's in the cast? Who are some of the members that make up this this cast? And who were some of the performers that really stood out to you?
Yeah, so we've got David Tennant, who is playing one of our characters, not in a prison cell, and really very well-known and well-situated actor within the industry. And, of course, we've got Stanley Tucci, who most people may know, who's a North American actor. Devil Wears Prada, for example. He also has a really great series on TV at the moment that is about him touring Italy and trying different foods in different regions of Italy, as Stanley Tucci is Italian. So he's also in this, and he plays Grief. And Dolly Wells plays Janice. And there's an interesting relationship between Janice and the priest, who is played by David Tennant. And so there's this story that's happening while there is this container of Grief, our main character, trying to figure out this story. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of an interesting look at human beings. But this also means that the characters have to be compelling and have to be interesting. And so from an acting perspective, you know, Stanley Tucci delivers every time. And what's interesting to me about Stanley Tucci is that he often feels very much the same in every character he's done. And a lot of times, you know, we kind of frown on this because you think an actor is a one-trick pony. But actually, if you are very consistent and you don't have to do a lot of work that sort of over-characterizes you're actually quite a solid performer because you are who you are and you're showing up in the role, if that makes sense. So we see some actors who take on different personas for each character and can do that really well. We have some actors who come into roles who are very much themselves taking on the embodiment of a character. So it's kind of two different approaches to acting. I think they all did a really strong job in building relationships between these characters.
Well, yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned, it's like, well, this is, you still know it's Stanley Tucci doing the role and playing the character, but he's able to naturally still bring himself into the character, which, you know, a lot of actors can't do. They have to lose themselves in these different characters, whereas this one, you can still see him as being Stanley Tucci, but still being able to play within this role and in this world. So that's really, really exciting to hear. Now, in terms of the cast as an ensemble, how do they work together? Is it a good mix? Is it a good chemistry between all the different actors?
Yeah, there's a really nice chemistry, and for the most part of this series, these folks as characters never actually meet. They do at one instance, but for the most part, they have to do their character building without doing scenes together in some cases. So that's also a tricky thing when you think about how those relationships happen when you're not, you know, doing a scene where you're face to face with somebody. Again, when we think about our character Grief being on death row, he is confined to a jail cell. He's got a really good friend on the inside who is also on death row. And so there's a nice character dynamic between those two because they're two very different style of murderers. And what we get from the other character is this like fun-loving, jolly, happy, almost clowny kind of effect. And he's actually murdered 14 women, right? Like it's quite an interesting thing to see unfold on a screen in front of you.
Now, Amy, do we need to start getting worried about you? You keep bringing these films forward that have a lot of murderers and things like that and it's weird split personalities. Are you trying to tell us something here?
Yeah, that's right. I think what, for me, I find, Alex, that this kind of character building is really interesting. Now, there's no real blood and guts and gory. We don't get to see any of these murders. This is just part of a backstory, right? By the time we meet these characters, they've been on death row for a while, and it's just part of the building of the world, right? So we're not going back to see any of their past. It's all about what's happening with the character of the priest and the character of Janice that is paralleling this story within this, again, I refer to it as a container. It's a word we use a lot in theater and in television as kind of the aesthetic for what's happening.
Okay, very fair. I'll let you off the hook this time, but maybe next time I may have some more questions.
Well, I might have a holiday show coming up next.
Okay.
So we're all good there.
I hopefully one without murder. But so this miniseries is described as a thriller drama. Would you say that's an accurate description for the genre?
You know what? I was surprised to see it marketed as a thriller drama. I mean, drama makes sense. But I don't get a lot of thriller out of this. Thriller to me means that my brain is running a mile a minute. Maybe there's car chases and action and there's all sorts of... That's not what kind of film this is. This is a BBC series. And they're very good at thriller dramas. But this one is a little bit more subdued. It's really the observation of humans from my perspective. I think that this is an interesting way of witnessing human behavior.
Well, then potentially is the thriller coming from the content itself that we are exploring murderers and their perspectives on death row, that's where you're really taking the thriller and that struggle between what does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be evil?
I suppose when we sort of get deep into the character of Grief, I think that's a funny name for a character, Grief, because when I first heard it, I thought I heard it in the description and I thought, who's grieving? Who? I don't understand. But that's the character's name is Grief. And the question that is happening, that is unfolding in front of us all through this mechanism of storytelling is any of us can be a murderer. So we've got one, you know, the one character that is that I referenced that murdered 14 people. That is like a psychological narcissistic, like, you know, how we classify murder. But the average everyday human who is Grief found himself in a situation where a murder took place. And what he is saying and what we are watching as a parallel is that anybody put in the wrong situation at the wrong time can be almost compelled or make a series of wrong decisions that can put you on death row. And as a human, I sit back and I think, oh my gosh, I would never consider that I could be a murderer, but I have never been put in a situation where I've been tested. So that's the interesting dynamic, and maybe that's where the thriller bit comes in.
Absolutely. Now, you did mention this is a miniseries. It's a four-part series. Do you think that there's going to be more future iterations and future parts coming, or is this kind of so self-contained that it's the four parts and then it's over?
Yeah, you know, in all the reading I did, I couldn't find a statement that said, oh my gosh, we're going to do more. But it does seem to be rather nicely contained, beginning, middle, and end within these 4 1-hour episodes.
Okay. And in terms of the description, how was it for this 4-part series?
Well, you know, my diversity soapbox is something that I like to ride a lot. I think it's so important that folks that don't have the privilege of sight, again, we live in a sighted world, have access to knowing what the diversity is on screen. And anyway, so the description for me was very well done. It was well crafted. And I think in this one, there's a lot of really interesting choice of sentence structure, which really appealed to me. Sometimes description is a lot of they do this, they do that, they do this. And we get into more of the describing of blocking, which is not important because it doesn't really serve the work. And so this has a nice balance of being able to package the description in a way that really serves the story.
Well, and I'm sure, too, for yourself, you want to get more of that rich color as much as you can. So any description that doesn't take away from the actual relevancy to the story can always help as well, then.
Good description is good for everybody, and it almost should be so seamless that it doesn't distract you from the storytelling. And when I know description has missed the mark for me, I'm hung up and I remember certain things. So now, of course, since I have the privilege of being watching streaming things instead of being in a theater, I can stop, I can pause, I can take a note about something I really liked or really I thought doesn't fit with the framework of description. So this one has a really nice sort of flow to it and fits in nicely with the world.
And so I want to get your final thoughts. How would you rate this film? Or not film, short series.
I mean, I suppose it's a film if you think about it as a 4-hour film. I binged it like it was a film. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think there's a lot of really wonderful merits to this. And I really enjoyed the container and the parallel storytelling and the idea of being able to watch human beings in a situation unfold that's a little bit beyond their control. And what is compelling to everybody as a human being is this series of poor decision making that, you know, that's like that, what do they call that? The tangled web you weave. When you start to go down this trail of one lie to another lie to another lie, where at the very beginning, if you had just told the truth, you know, you could have avoided this whole thing. But as humans, we tend to try and, you know, I don't know, cover stuff up, even if it's at the beginning a very white, innocent lie.
Absolutely. You keep digging yourself in a further hole. Amy, thank you so much for chatting with me today, bringing this miniseries to my attention. I'm definitely going to check it out now.
Check it out, Alex.
Hey, Dave Brown here. If you enjoy this podcast portion of our show, remember you can watch it live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on AMI TV.
Hi, I'm Red Sale, inviting you to download the latest episode of My Life in Books, where internationally acclaimed authors discuss their lives, their work, and 3 books that have resonated with them. That's My Life in Books, available wherever you get your AMI podcasts.